Explore how excellence in your field can be the starting point for being salt and light in the workplace with Joey Mongalo's testimony on coaching the Vodacom Blue Bulls rugby team.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
My name is Joey Mongalo. I'm currently the defence coach for the Vodacom Bulls. So I coach rugby for a living. I've always been mad about sport from young. So I grew up in a soccer mad family. My mother was a Chiefs supporter, my father a Pirates supporter. So from a young age, I learned that you have to pick a side at home. So I picked Chiefs with my mother, which was a smart move for somebody who likes eating. So I picked the right way that way. In terms of vocation wise, it's such a great environment. To get to know people, to work with people, to see people develop and grow, both as rugby players as well as in their individual capacity. So that's pretty much what I do. I develop people on and off the field. I get to do what I love doing because I really love sport. I love people. So that combination makes it a calling. Also, there's the hedgehog effect. I don't know if you've read something along those lines. So it speaks about if you can do something that you can be the best in the world at, that you can get paid for, that you're passionate about, then you've quite close to a sweet spot. So I feel like rugby allows me to do that. It allows me to do something I'm passionate about. It's, I think, something that I can be one of the best in the world at, and also happen to get paid for it. So that's sort of the sweet spot, and I feel like my career is exactly that. I'm in the sweet spot. On a scale of 1 to 10, I believe that my job is a 9.5 out of 10 as a calling from God. There are two biblical passages that I really hold on to in my job. So the one is on match day, because our job is in front of millions of people who judge you on a weekly basis. So I like to use Isaiah 26:3 that says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." So in those moments, it's almost just give over all the faithfulness that was put into the week, into preparation, to say whatever happens in the result, God has got me. And then as an overriding one, I love 1 Corinthians 15:10 that says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So I love that interplay between me working hard, but it's by God's grace that I can work hard. So it just makes me realize that I can work as hard as I want to, but God gives me the grace to work hard. So that just, I think, gives me a humble disposition, because then I'm realizing anything that goes well is because God has allowed it to. And if it doesn't, that he's also in the midst of it as well. So those two passages are really calming effect on me. Excellence regarding work, or in reference to work. If you don't mind, I'll use another passage. Whether we eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I love that passage because it's almost saying, like, in the smallest of things, the standard is already set, and that's God's standard. And if you look throughout creation, how when God created from the beginning, and whatever God has done has been excellent, of the highest degree, of the highest caliber, perfection. As the Bible says in Genesis, it was good, and then regarding humans, it was very good. So I would say excellence is actually good, what is good. So for me, it's about being faithful, doing the little things really well. I've also got a leadership model. In it, it speaks about your ability to create, or your ability to be excellence, is judged on two things. One is consistency, so your ability to rock up every day and consistently keep doing the right things. And then the second one is competence. So just the ability to do whatever you're called to do to the best of your ability. So I think a combination of those two things is how I would say excellence is defined. I think it's really important for Christ-led leaders to pursue excellence in the field, because the field, the work environment for me, is a mission field. It's a free place for believers to work in a manner that represents the gospel. So what I mean by that is, if we are excellent at what we do, if we are faithful at what we do, we are consistent in doing that, it just allows somebody who doesn't believe to ask the question. So what is it about you that, in my example, when you've won a game, you're not high in the sky, but you can try to remain humble? What is it about you that when we've lost the game, you're not down in the dumps? So that there, the way that I deal with wins and losses in my world, gives me a place for testimony, because people can see that my identity is not wrapped up in how many games we win or how many we lose, but there's a consistency there. So that's just in terms of results, and I think everybody can relate to that, whether it's in sports or in corporate, is how you're dealing with the bad times and the tough times. If Christ is the center of that, then obviously it just shows, it's a testimony to other people. Regarding excellence, excellence itself is that it's one thing to tell people what Christianity is, and another thing to do things in such a manner that they ask questions of, why are you consistent? Why are you working so hard? Why are you so faithful? And then you can say, well, it's beyond just the work. I'm doing this for a greater purpose. So I just think excellence gives us a testimony to share in the workplace. Well, as a rugby coach, it's pursuit. I guess it's a pursuit of excellence, because excellence for me is not a point in time. It's something that you get better and better at. So one is, I pursue relationships. I really fight not just to see guys as rugby players, but to see them as young men who one day be fathers and husbands. And then the more I can just get to know them, spend time with them, share my life and they share their life, I think that's one way of excellence for sure. And then on a practical level, we have to present often as coaches, reviews and previews of games. So I just pride myself in making sure I'm really detailed. I use an acronym, DEAD. I wish I could find a different one. But the first D is for detail. So what I'm doing is really systematic, it's detailed, it's unquestionable in terms of its accuracy. E is for effort. So the simplest way to put that is to be one of the first to arrive nice and early, and then also be the last to leave, just as a principle of effort. The third one is A, attitude. So just say, again, similar to the wins and losses, that there's some consistency in the way that I am. So in the good times, being one of the guys who tries to lift people, or to at least stay humble through the good times, and then in the tough times, one of the people who tries to uplift others. And then the last one I think is important is delight. If I say that I'm in a calling from God, I should delight in the job that I do. So that acronym of DEAD is what I use to try to fight excellence in my job. Does excellence translate into success? I feel like if excellence is a process, something that you continue to pursue, then at some point you'll reach the end goal. I think it's impossible to be faithful in the small things, to be consistent, to be competent, and to care about those around you and not reach some level of success. I also think it's important for us to probably distinguish between what is success in the world and what is kingdom success. So I like to speak not necessarily of success, but of significance. Significance is that you're still successful in that you need to meet your goals, you need to meet the bottom line, or you need to win rugby games in my world. But significance is that you do that while the person element matters, while you fight to get to know people, to care about people, and then hopefully to get an opportunity to share the gospel with people. So I think it's one thing to be successful with the bottom line and wins, but another altogether to get those and influence people's lives at the same time. And by the way, I also think that if you do the people thing well, the success will anyways follow. So that's how I see it. Jesus took 12 disciples who were like-minded men, who made other disciples like-minded men and women, and 2,000 years later, here we are listening to the same gospel. So if you'll take that to the business world, is if we can find like-minded people to do community together, to divide each other's sorrows and to multiply each other's joys and to learn from each other, I believe then we can create generations of Christ-led leaders who can make a massive difference in our country.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to join a Ziwani Exchange Group to work through a series with peers, please contact us on ziwani@mergon.co.za.